Howdy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Been a while?
Yep. Been busy building a brick wall, retaining wall, / flower bed outside.
Retaining wall for what? What are you retaining?
The flower bed. Makes the front of the house look better.
Okay.
So, that was been my big project last week.
So that's why Jeff wasn't able to do a show for a while.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, there was a chance for us to do a show, but I was at a funeral, so that kind of ruined that opportunity.
This is good beer.
We're drinking Victory's Prima Pils.
Bought a case of that, and I've been thoroughly enjoying it. Great summertime beer.
It is, well, it's not quite summer, technically.
Feels like it.
It feels like it some days. Today, the weather went down. Unfortunately, we got a little bit of a cold front. A cold front means we only get down to about 70 degrees, but it's better than 90 and humid.
Mm-hmm.
So, like it was this weekend. Blech. Tried to contact you this weekend, because I got back on Saturday.
Okay.
And you didn't even answer your phone. Didn't even answer your phone.
I didn't have it on me, I guess. I'm trying to remember which one. I saw some missed calls. That was on Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sunday?
Oh, really?
And I believe Saturday, but not sure.
Hmm. Oh. I was outside working.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was sleeping. And then I was working. So,
work will be the death of you. Be like me and just do as little of it as possible.
Well, this was housework, building stuff. You know, it's, I don't know. It's, I like making things, even if it's just a brick wall. So, it was enjoyable, but it was hot. Frequent breaks, lots and lots of water. And really couldn't drink beer because it would just dehydrate you like crazy if you start drinking beer. So I had to save those for the end of the day. And actually, that's why I had the Prima Pils, because I bought a case of beer a couple weeks ago. But right after the last time you did a show, I got a case of the 6-Point Resin. It's their double IPA. It's really good.
But that's not a...
It's like 8.5% alcohol.
That's so not a huge... Yeah, that's not after you're done after a hot, sweaty day kind of beer. Because that would just stick to you. It'll feel like it was sticking to your esophagus.
It's kind of good at the end of the day when you're relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely not a lawnmower beer where you drink it while you're, you know, pounding bricks with a rubber mallet type thing. Because that would have just been not good. So, you know, I went out and got a case of Prima Pils. And that's kind of my... Drink lightly while you're
Prima
working.
Prima Pils is not a lawnmower beer.
It's a lot more refreshing in the hot sun than a double IPA.
Right, but I mean, like, you know, I think of a lawnmower beer as being, you know, like a good lawnmower beer has got a little bit more flavor and taste than water, but it still it goes down pretty easily. But this is a pretty strongly hot beer.
Sure.
But with a considerable bite to it.
To me, it's as close to a lawnmower as I get.
I mean, like, I would think of something like, what's that all-grain beer that's made here?
Straub.
Straub, yeah. You know, it's a perfectly acceptable American, you know, non-adjunct pilsner. It doesn't have anything, it's not a particularly flavorful beer in any way, but it goes down easy and is not going to give you a lot of DMS and other stuff like that.
You can drink Straub while drinking Prima Pils.
All right.
I want to get Sly Fox Pils, but Best Buy February is on the shelves of the beer distributor.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank. I'm not going to buy that case.
So what's been going on besides you building shit? I've had, you know last week what happened, and that ran its course. Mm-hmm. And so I had to leave and attend that whole nonsense. But that's over with, thankfully. Savor is coming up in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Do we have the people?
Yeah. I just emailed back JD just now. And Yeah, we'll see what we're going to do with the other one yet. I haven't decided.
All right. Maybe we'll just flip a coin. So I think the way we're gonna work is instead of me mega busting and I'm definitely driving, you're gonna mega bust it back,
probably. So you don't have to get up early. So you can do what you want to do, and I get back in Pittsburgh around the time Heather would like me back in Pittsburgh.
Right.
So yeah, I'll probably take the mega bus back. Way down, might as well drive with you. As long as we get there early enough to have lunch and whatnot. Last year where we could go have lunch because I guess the first year or whatever, second year we drove down.
We got there just in time.
Yeah, we got there, we changed, and we basically just went straight to the building museum.
I would plan to leave at roughly the same time, 7 or 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, okay. Yeah, I might as well ride with you.
Pass the megabus on the way down.
Yeah, that works. Just make sure I print out my ticket for the way back.
There are lots of printers along the way.
Yep.
So I'm sure that won't be an issue.
So I was thinking this might turn into a good conversation. It might not. We'll see.
Interrobang? Were you thinking about the Interrobang?
No, we can talk about the Interrobang. I don't think that's going to go anywhere, though.
Jeff mentioned Interrobang. I had no idea what that was. Apparently it's a new symbol that is a combination of a question mark and what is called in computer science circles the bang or the exclamation point. And I said it sounded like a really bad porno, like Abu Ghraib porn or something. or one of my favorite podcasts, Comedy Bang Bang and Tara Bang Bang. But it's weird, just the combo. And apparently it's used for, what was it on the webpage? You're pregnant?
Yeah, it's kind of the excitement and question mark. It's used a lot in online chat, right? It's overused there. I remember hearing a thing on the news a couple years ago where it was either like the punctuation of the year for some, for some big dictionary, either American Heritage or Webster's or something, or it was, allowed into the dictionary.
In Spanish, they have an upside-down version of it.
Oh, yeah, so like our last...
¿Qué pasa?
our last episode, we named it, Terabang, we did a show. Because it's been sitting in the can for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I said this on the air, but it would be so nice if we could if we could post the show that we were about to record, right? Like the show we're recording right now, would have been nice if I could have posted it before we drank any beer. Because it's easy then.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard after you drink the beer.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard. It's hard
later,
to...
and it's drunker, and you're tireder.
We did it a couple of times, and it worked, but it got harder and harder, especially as we got to a very high alcohol show. And it was we can't do this.
I don't want to post the show. I mean, I remember when we were brand new, I would edit the show and post it right after you left. I spent like 3 hours post production immediately after the show.
That was when, that's
when we were insane.
We were younger. You didn't have kids. A lot of different things were going on then.
So. Yeah. And now it's like we record a show and it gets posted a month later.
That was 3 jobs ago for both of us.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy. So, you said you had something you thought you could...
I had this thought about...
Uh-oh.
We're talking about... emergence and, the complexity arising out of chaos and things like
that. Under the right conditions.
Under the right conditions, right. And we were talking about how, an ant is pretty dumb, but the whole colony can do some pretty amazing things, right?
Right.
Or a bee is dumb, but the whole hive can do pretty amazing things. And I was thinking, humans really aren't any different at all.
Nope.
If you had a human that didn't, the whole standing upon shoulders of giants thing.
If a human wasn't a part of civilization, would not be able to accomplish much.
Yeah.
A single human outside of a civilization, you know, it can build a hut and live in an island and get food for itself, but it can't accomplish culture. You can't have culture without, and culture is the driving force behind everything we see. So yeah, a single human alone is capable of surviving more than a single bee or a single ant is,
mm-hmm.
but all in all is not capable of accomplishing much.
Yeah, it's not really the, like when you, it is intelligence, but when you think of intelligence, you think of like the whole sum of your intelligence, you know, like knowing how to tie your shoes and how to drive a car. You know, if you're by yourself and, you know, you're not learning those things from others, you're an ant can't survive on its own. You could, but it's like, wow. Like, I was kind of thinking about it. I'm like, really, there's a lot closer than you would think, you know? A single human can't do all that much. Like, I was listening to a story about a guy who tried to make his own toaster from scratch. Toaster from dirt. Getting ore, smelting ore.
Oh, wow, okay.
Making wires. Something as simple as a toaster, something you can buy for $5 at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, that's because there's a huge infrastructure available
Well, right, but he was exceedingly hard to make a toaster, and his heating element burned out before it could finish the toast, you know? I mean, you think about that. Think about anything that's in the room you're sitting in right now and look at it, like, could you make that?
How did he do the power? And did he make his own transformer and power conversion?
I think he plugged into the grid for the power. No, it's a toaster, so it runs on AC. You know, so he had to make an element that would work on 110 volt AC. So no transformer or anything. He just had to make very rudimentary wires out of ore that he made himself. You know, he got ore. I don't know if he didn't mine the ore. He didn't dig a big mine, but he purchased raw ore, like if he had found it,
mm-hmm.
and then tried to manufacture the case, the wires, the grids that hold the bread, the popping mechanism, springs. He tried to make springs.
See, you know, there's a huge problem I see with this. Right away, I see a huge problem. And that's that a toaster is an item of spectacularly useless convenience in the sense that you stick two pieces of bread and push a thing down, but all you really have to do is put a pan on a fire and put pieces of bread on top of it. And you can toast the bread just fine. In fact, get a better toast on it doing that than you would in a toaster.
Right.
So, you know, he's just obfuscating things to a ridiculous degree for the purpose of making a point that isn't necessarily need to be made, because the toaster is just there, like I said, almost as an icon of convenience over substance.
It's a good point. I think the point was more so like you don't realize how complex even the simplest things are, and you know, like
that's almost the same point, is that a toaster is a fantastically complex thing to do, a very simple thing that I don't toast bread anymore in a toaster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a toaster oven and I use that for sort of oven things, but I don't toast bread in it. I toast bread on a cast iron skillet.
Okay.
Because that's a better toast.
Okay. Yeah, I see your point. It's, you know, I'm sure he could have done other things. Well, maybe he did pick toaster because it is, you know, a pretty complex way of toasting bread. Right. Like you said, I mean, you don't even need a pan. You just need hold bread next to a fire, you know, put on a rock, a hot rock. You know, you can do all kinds of very, very primitive things.
Mm-hmm.
Making the bread is significantly more difficult than making toast out of bread.
Right.
Unless you use a toaster. So it was... Oh, you know, it was on Science Friday a while back. That's where I heard it.
Okay.
You know, he was interviewing the guy who had a book on making his own toaster from scratch.
And did that ever come up, that you're making an object that is, you know...
I don't think so. I don't think they took that angle.
Someone should have. If I were there...
You could have called up.
If I were,
you
could have called
up, screamed your point, and hung up on them like all the.
And then said, like, Jesus rules.
Like all the zealots that call Science Friday. It's God's glue, man. Makes toast.
That does remind me of the Calvin and Hobbes, where Hobbes. Or Calvin, one of them showed the other one that the toaster said, you put bread in, and toast comes out. And then it was like, well, that's weird. Where does the bread go?
Nice. Our power was out for 3.5 hours yesterday afternoon. That was fun.
At work?
Yeah, at work, yeah. It's funny, well... Power was out. I called Duquesne Light. They're like, power will be back on by 4, the computer system said. Call at like 4 o'clock. Power will be back on by 6. I'm like, ugh, I got to be here till the power comes back. I'm going to uncable some of the stuff in the server room.
And why'd you have to be there?
To make sure everything comes back up, since I'm IT.
What about your guy?
My guy's not smart enough to do that kind of stuff.
To make sure things are turned on.
Yeah, make sure everything's working after it's turned on. It's not just like turning on lights. It's making sure the whole system, all the systems come up and are functional.
I'm still failing to see how that's not anything that would take more than a half a day to teach somebody how to test all this stuff.
It's more complicated than that.
It's like making give them a couple scripts, have them run it, make sure it all checks out.
Boom. I don't have the scripts. I'd have to write the scripts, and that would take a while.
Write the friggin' scripts.
It's not that simple. There's a lot of complexity when the environment comes up.
It's just that simple.
It is not.
It like, really is a couple checks.
It's like a toaster, man. It's a toaster. I want my homemade wires to melt. What was I saying, though? So they pushed back the thing 2 more hours. I'm like, okay. Might as well take this time to kind of organize some of the Ethernet cables and power cables in the back of the rack in the server room. Unplug a whole bunch of shit. Power comes back on. Like, motherfucker. I got the server room down now. The power is on. So it was a big rush to plug everything back in.
You didn't have to rush.
Oh, I took, you know, another 15 minutes or so to bring it up, you know, bring everything up. And so, but it's like, damn it. Why couldn't they tell the truth and make it last 2 more hours?
Like, you didn't have to rush. The servers were down. They were expected to be down for 2 hours. You could have said, all right, well, power's on. Hey, now I have air conditioning and I can plug things in. I can take my time on this with lights. No, you know, it's.
Because I had people standing at the door saying, what are you doing?
You're like you said, you're IT. You said, I'm fixing this server and it'll be back on when I say it's back on. Deal with it. You can do that.
It's not the way we work around here.
Yeah, and that's such a lie. That is such a lie. I know, because I know there are people at work who would do that and you wouldn't question it. So that's not the way you work, but that is the way that some people work. Because I know people at jobs, I know the way they work. I know the types of people.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
I'm not sure I get to follow your point exactly, but...
So if you suck a sales guy's disposition in your body and your, you know, and your knowledge, and he said, look, the server's coming up when I say it's coming up.
That's not the kind of IT I want to run. So anyway, yeah, I get my, you know, we have all kinds of internet problems at work. So if we get the internet fixed, we get a good solid internet service. And it's like, God's just screwing with me. Okay, I'm going to find your next weakest link. Oh, it's power. Fuck you, Jeff.
Well, you know what we didn't talk about? Because we talked about how Community got renewed.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were those 3 episodes.
Oh, the video game episode was amazing.
Yeah, they were all pretty great. And then the big horrible news happened.
I don't think I heard the horrible news.
The horrible news is that Dan Harmon was kicked off the show.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, I mean, how can you put it? The show, the entire comic sensibility, the entire... voice of the show is Dan Harmon.
Okay.
The show is Dan Harmon.
Uh-huh.
His contract wasn't renewed with Sony. So some other people are taking over the show. We'll see. Whatever the show will be, and I'm not saying that there can't be a funny show.
It just won't be the same show.
It won't be the same show, yeah.
Oh, that video game episode was so good.
That will not happen without Dan. The video game episode, I could see something similar to the Law and Order episode, but not the whole thing. You know, like, you know, sort of a couple things here and there, but not a whole Law and Order episode, just, you know, just totally devoted to it. The Civil War episode would never happen without Dan Harmon. Yeah, the zombie episode, just pick out, you know, all, you know, the highlights. Those highlights of the show wouldn't be there without Dan Harmon. So, I mean, is there a strong enough show to continue there and be a funny show, a good show without him? Yes.
Okay. That stinks. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but he'll just make something else. You know, I mean, the weird thing is, I think that this is the season, almost because he got fired, this is the season the Community gets some of the recognition it deserves. He's going to probably get some, there may be some Emmys, there'll definitely be some, like, Television Critics Awards and stuff like that going on, so the show will finally get some of the awards it deserves, because people are saying, you know, this was something special.
So have you heard, I mean, I know you weren't a huge fan of the show, but have you heard about this, where Netflix picked up Arrested Development?
Yes.
You're going to, I guess...
That was a while ago.
See, I missed it until just recently. You're going to put out 10 episodes?
And not only that, but they're going to put out 10 episodes all at once. So instead of having it be, mm-hmm. you know, a once-a-week thing, they're just going to throw all 10. Which I kind of like the idea. And you just watch it at your own pace. Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, I now watch them, because I was, you know... I was not like a hardcore super fan of it like I am for Community, but you know, when I finally got around to watching them, I did think it was funny. I thought it was a little too punny for my tastes. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I just watched some old episodes of Police Squad.
Okay.
And that, you know, that's punnerific, but it's still so brilliant because it just it comes at you. And the scene I watched, there was at the end of one of the episodes where these two cop guys come up and his, you know, Frank Drebin's boss says, "Sergeants, take her in and book her." And Drebin shakes his hand with the voice, "Sergeant, take her in, Sergeant, book her." Just name the two guys. And then the guy asks, you know, how'd you come up with whatever it was? And says, "Oh, just a little hunchback I had of the just a little hunchback of the office." He says, "I brought that guy," and brings out his hunchback. "Here you go, Charlie." Just joke after joke after joke, and funny uh-huh. stuff. Yeah, Police Squad was great.
Okay, yeah, I've never really saw him. I know, you know, just the Naked Gun movies. I never really saw Police Squad.
You should. They're all on YouTube, so you can just
okay.
YouTube them, and they're very funny.
I'll check this out. I'm trying to think if I have anything. It's been so long, I'm sure I got other things to talk about.
Yeah, I didn't write anything down. I kind of...
SpaceX. Yeah. Going to the International Space Station. That was kind of cool. First private vessel to dock at the space station.
Yeah, kind of, but I mean, all the space stuff was made from private companies anyway. It just didn't have names on it, you know, like the space shuttle is like mostly like Boeing, right? But it didn't have Boeing's name on it.
I guess, I mean, but the space shuttle didn't have to be run by a business that, you know, needs to turn a profit for this. So that's the difference, where SpaceX has a business plan to make money doing space things.
Right.
Even though probably most of their plan is to get the $1 billion contract from NASA. So they're, you know, overcharging. Well, I guess it's charging whatever the market will bear, right? Because, I mean, as soon as the next company gets into the game, then there'll be competition.
I mean, so, you know, the question comes down to, you know, where do you... And I mean, I know they have a much smaller mission control than NASA does. when you start including astronauts on that, because they want to get SpaceX ultimately shoving astronauts out there, where do you, you know, draw the line? Safety versus cost, that sort of thing. What and really, you know, the question comes into play really when, not if, but when their first disaster happens.
Mm-hmm.
It'll happen. It does. That's what happens. I mean, planes are the safest way to travel. Disasters still happen.
Right. Space travel is not the safest way to travel.
Right.
So disaster happens a lot more. Yeah. Not as much as cars. Speaking of that, have you seen, or do you know the Sklar brothers have a new show on Discovery or History? It's called The United Stats of America. So I caught one, and it was interesting. It was like, how you'll die, right? And they were kind of pointing out the absurdity of some of these things, where people are afraid of airplanes, or people are afraid of snakes, but you're much, much more likely to
get
killed by a deer, or to die in a car. Or maybe both, right? Because that's how deers kill most people. But they said your odds of dying in a car are 1 in 88. That means like 1 out of every 80 people you know who drive are killed in a car on average. I mean, when you think about it that way, right, it's like, I don't know anyone who's died in a car accident.
I know somebody who's died in a car
accident. Okay. Then I'm lucky. I mean, I know way more than 88 people, and I know no one who's died in a car accident. So the number seemed, I knew the number was a lot worse than any other kind of travel. But when I heard that, I started thinking about like, I don't know of anyone who's died in a car accident. So maybe I'm just the exception that don't, you know.
But I mean, the problem is our complete and utter inability to comprehend statistics on an emotional level. We can comprehend on an intellectual level, but we can't make that jive with the emotional parts in our brain. So we see big horrific things and those are what stick out. Mm-hmm. The non big horrific things don't stick out as much. And then we hear numbers that sound small and all of a sudden we get worried about that. I hear numbers that sound big, but somehow they don't seem as big. There's a whole bunch of weird things going on. And
right.
In the way we, and we talked about it last time, how we don't understand numbers at all, really.
The majority of people who get bit by snakes in the country are between 24, or men, overwhelmingly men, like 96% men.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are between 24 and 30, and most of them are drunk.
I believe it. I believe it, because what do you do when you see a snake? You stay away. When don't you stay away? When your judgment is compromised? What's the most easy way for you to be compromised? Alcohol.
Yep.
All those three things add up, and I have no question. I mean, that sounds intuitively true. And so I'm not surprised at all that the statistics bear that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw two episodes. The other one was about... what was it? It was about, you know, the obesity in America type thing, and they were trying to, like... I forget what they called it, though. Like, but they were talking about, like, portion size over time, and they showed how many calories extra Jason burned working in an office versus Randy burned working on a farm type thing. But they had a lot of the Sklar type. You know, if you watch Cheap Seats at all, it was a similar type tone. Like, almost like they had the same director or something, you know, like, you know, someone they knew who...
Well, I mean, it's their comic sensibility.
Yeah, yeah, it could be that, too. Yeah. Maybe, and they probably have a fair amount in the, you know, the production.
Do you listen to their podcast? If you like them, you should listen to Scarborough Country.
I haven't listened to Scarborough Country now.
So, yeah, that's on Earwolf. They do Comedy Bang Bang and Who Charted.
Okay. I hear them every once in a while on, you know, podcasts here and there, but I don't listen to theirs. I haven't been listening to too many podcasts lately. Hardly any beer ones.
That's all I can listen. I mean, I have an hour commute, so...
I'm way down on podcasts. I listen to... I catch up. I try to keep up with Doug Loves Movies. That's the one I listen to the most right now. Is Doug Loves Movies. I just downloaded a couple episodes of Cashing In with T.J. Miller. I don't know. I just seem like
Denver. Yeah,
I just seem to like T.J. Miller, so I want to check out his podcast. If I, you know, I'll give it a couple goes, and if it's, we'll see how good it is, or if it's not.
I'm not really a big fan of T.J. Miller. I'm a huge fan of Scott Aukerman, so. Okay. Yeah, Comedy Bang Bang is good. And I'm a big fan of Paul Tompkins, but I never... I mean, I have his podcast downloaded, but I haven't got a chance to listen to them yet. I listened to the first one. Didn't quite grab me, but he probably got better since then. But, yeah. I mean, he has people on there that I know I like. Like, Jen Kirkman is on there a lot, and I know she's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
What do you say we go drink some beer?
Let's drink some beer! Maybe you can stop it. There you go.
Trying.